Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hours. I'm Gregory, your friendly, congenial, and hopefully happy host, wanting to wish you a happy holiday. Hope that your Christmas was merry. Hope you're looking forward to a great New Year's Eve celebration, and that the next year, now that we know we're going to have one, because the world didn't end after the Mayan according to the Mayan prediction, so things are a lot better. I don't know how many people were standing in their yards looking up, looking for UFOs, wanting to be airlifted out, or how many people were expecting a divine presence to come and communicate and lift us all into higher worlds. So I guess we're stuck with who we are, and we're going to be here for a while. I see that I have a number of people who are callers on the line, and normally I begin by explaining a little bit about what the Light Giver program is about, but I see at least one person wants to chat with me a bit, so let me open the line. And that, you're the one that has an area code of 360. Let's see what's on your mind. Hello, caller 360. You're live and on the air.
I see you have a
question. Yes.
My name's Lori.
Hi, Laurie. How are you?
Hi. Not too bad. Getting good. Over being sick again.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if I could ask a question on the show. Or...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can ask a question. I'm delighted to know that somebody's out there. I was just kind of... I started on this show largely because Dee LaDozier had me on a couple of her shows in a row. And the callers were so enthusiastic and so interesting. She says, well, why don't you just do something on Thursday nights? And I said, great. And so now here we are on Thursday night. And tell me what your question is, and let's see if we can work with it.
Well, I'm trying to find an apartment to move, you know, and it's really kind of stressful. And I'm wondering if I should take this apartment at this place called Regency Park. It's a pretty nice apartment, but it doesn't have a washer and dryer in the unit, you know.
Mm.
I'm wondering if I should take that one or if I should wait. Or there's one in a, it's a bit of a drive though. It's, you know, but I didn't go look at it today and... But it's two bedrooms with a washer and dryer in it. But I don't know if I should drive all the way out there because my tires are kind of bad right now. So I don't know if I should just take the one on Regency Park.
Well, a lot of... I'm now talking to you less as a Light Giver Universal Healer. I'm talking to you as a grandfather and as a dad. So let's just say for the moment I'm going to give you some fatherly conversation, the kind that I would give my daughter, and I have daughters in their 30s who don't ask me for much advice, but sometimes they do. I would say a lot of it depends on what's the nature of your daily activities and how important is it. Do you have children?
Yes, my daughter is wanting to move out here, but, you know, I don't know if she will or not, and You know, so I'm kind of concerned about, you know, where I should live.
Well, a lot of it, the reason I ask you the question is because a lot of it has to do with how it sounds like the big issue is how important the convenience of a laundry is, you know, for you. Is it with, if you have children, people living with you, it's awful nice. I live in a three-room unit, and it's really convenient just every time, and I'm by myself, it's really convenient just to be able to do my clothes. But the other part of it has to do with, in terms of driving, how far will you be from where you would normally be during the day? Do you have a workplace that you go to, or?
No.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I don't have the technology here, but I do know that sometimes when you're doing prioritizing, you make a list of all the things that are important to you. Sounds like the number of bedrooms, the convenience of a washer and dryer, the distance from to the place that you would want to go to, the condition of your car. These are all factors. So you make a list of one, say apartment one and apartment two. And then you go down the list and then you rate each one of those things and say, which one is the most important? You could even give them numerical values. Then you add them up and you say, oh, okay. And that'll give you a place to start. The most important thing is you kind of go to your gut. You know, some people will say, my gut tells me this, or my heart tells me, or I have a thought. And the fact of the matter is, and this is something that Deepak Chopra includes in some of his talks, the fact of the matter is that if you say your gut tells you, your gut really is telling you, because the same thinking enzymes that are in your brain are also in your gut. They're throughout your body. So you just want to feel into your heart and say, this is a decision I'm going to make, and know that it's your decision, and accept it, and then live with it. Don't spend your time saying, oh, I wish I'd done the other thing. I don't know if that makes sense to you. And I don't know how I got to be so lucky to answer this question, because the description that B created for the show is, you know, something about self-healing and spiritual guidance and, you know, that sort of thing. You know? Now, does somehow your question, does it fall into that category?
I don't know. You know, I don't. I just don't know which.
Well,
what decision to make?
How soon do you have to leave the place where you are? Have you already given notice?
Well, I think by the 19th of January, I have to find a place.
Well, it sounds like you found a place. The question is, you have to decide which one is the one that you really want, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a hunch that want to do a little experiment? You ready to do an experiment?
Sure.
You'll find when you talk to me on these calls, I always want to do experiment, because the whole idea is any thought you have has energy with it. Everything is energized. Any thought you have, any feeling you have is energized. Now, have you seen both of those apartments? Have you visited each of them?
I haven't looked at the one that's a far drive.
Okay, well, we'll pretend that you have, all right? You ready? So now what I want you to do is imagine that you're standing. Let's see. Now, what's the most important room to you? And I'm not trying to get into any of your habits. In your house, what's the most important room? The one that's really your center. Is it the kitchen? Is it the bedroom? Is it the living room, the TV room? What's the most important room for you?
Kind of like a room where I'm sitting at my computer, because that's where I spend most of my time. So.
Okay, I can relate to that. So let's just say that's the place that's most important to you. Now, here's what I want, without your having gone into the other room, here's what I want you to do, is just imagine that you're, without even knowing what the room looks like, that you're sitting at your computer in the place that you have seen first. So just take a breath and just imagine, hold the breath, imagine that you're sitting in that room. And now relax. Now notice how you're experiencing yourself. Just notice how you're experiencing yourself. Okay. Now let's move and let's imagine, without you even knowing what the room looks like, that you're sitting in the second place, the other place that you say is rather far drive. So just take a breath and hold it for a moment and then release it. Now, in which of those two did you feel more relaxed? Did you feel more relaxed in the second one or more relaxed in the first one?
More relaxed in the first one because it's, you know,
you
more
can find
familiar.
Well, see, you're trying to find reasons for why you're more relaxed in it, and it may be correct.
Mm-hmm.
It may be because you're more familiar with it, you're more relaxed there, and you haven't seen the other one. So maybe once you see the other one, then do the same exercise again and notice the difference. I've made a lot of decisions in my life, some of which people might say were really not good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say this, that every decision I made, I take full responsibility for. And at that moment, it really seemed like it was the right and the best decision. So what you want to do is move to a point where you can feel that this is the decision you want to make. And once you make it, make it. And decide you're going to live with it. I want to ask you one personal question.
Okay.
Are you in your 20s, 30s, or 40s, or 50s? What age?
50s.
Okay. Well, you've made a whole lot of decisions in your life, a lot of good ones. And you may have made a few. You say, well, if I had a chance to do it over again, I might do them differently. But just feel into that stream of good decisions and know that the next decision you're going to make is going to be the right one, especially if you feel it in your gut.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll try that.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Okay.
So you take care.
Okay.
And I'm glad you called.
Well, thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, you're listening to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour, and I thought I would begin by asking a question of a caller, or hearing a question from a caller, and needless to say, that was somewhat of a surprise to have an opportunity to demonstrate some of my fatherly advice, but also to share a basic energy sensing technique that most of us are using on a day-by-day basis. Think about the times that you were faced with a choice and you would find yourself saying, well, you know, that really doesn't feel right. I'm not sure I can go along with that. The reason is that each of us not only has several bodies, physical body and emotional body, something's called an astral body, which is more like the dream body. We have a causal body, which is memory body. We have the mental body, which, of course, is the mind and the unconscious. And each one of those aspects of ourselves is doing its very best to direct the choices that we make. But underneath all that, there is a spiritual consciousness which is linked to, if not the same, as our higher consciousness. And the higher consciousness has the fundamental commitment to guide and to support the choices that we make. Now, it's likely that the last caller, I think her name is Lori, could choose, say, apartment A, which is one she's more familiar with, for many good reasons. And at the same time, in 2 or 3 months or 2 or 3 years, say, well, you know, now that I made that decision, I can see where it was a good one, but you know what, I think I'm going to make a different one for another reason, for another set of reasons. The important thing is to acknowledge that you've made your decision and to take responsibility for it and move through it and learn every possible thing you possibly can and understand everything you can as a direct result of having made those choices. So this is called the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. And the reason why it's called the Light Giver Hour is because the Light Givers and WGGM, which is the Greater Good Ministries, are sponsoring this show because there is a single idea, as I said a minute ago, that we live our lives actually trying to understand even more so the nature of the choices that we face in our lives, and most importantly, trying to understand how those choices in some way either lead to or guided by our fundamental spiritual nature. And that's what life is all about. I remember when I was involved with a particular group that gave lectures and talks around the country. The way, one of the things, you may have heard this before, would say, well, there are three fundamental questions. Who am I? Why am I going? Is that the, I guess that's three. Why am I going? Where am I going? And how do I get there? That may be four questions. I don't know. Today's not a big arithmetic day for me. So the first answer would be, we say, who am I? And the standard response would be that each of us is fundamentally a spiritual being. That we're not spiritual beings having, we aren't humans having spiritual experiences, we're spiritual beings having human experiences. And there would be some discussion about ourselves as soul, and that was stated as an absolute without much explanation about what that experience actually is. The next question would be, why am I here? And the response would be, that word or words to the effect that the reason why we're here is to understand how to live, shall we say, with more spirituality, I'll say, in daily life. In other words, we're learning how to manage ourselves as soul beings, as spiritual beings, in and among the chaos of daily life on this planet or in this universe. The next question would be, well, where am I going? Well, the obvious answer is that where one is going is to learn how to actually is to become this advanced spiritual being that's able to manage the integrity, I'll say, of consciousness while still maneuvering through daily life. And the last question is, how do I get there? And that, many of us, if you're on this call, if you're listening to the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour, then that's by doing what you already know how to do. That's by, through what's the discipline of what's called spiritual practice. That can be prayer, meditation, contemplation. It could be even Tai Chi. It could be those long, lovely walks that you take. It could be depending on or using poetry. But what's underneath all that is a recentering of attention into the basic spiritual dimension of life. Now, let me flip that a bit. When I say recentering of attention, I say it as if it is somehow beneath all that is going on. But in fact, it's much more transcendent than that. It's the state of being that we speak about in the Light Giver work as the ascended consciousness, the state of ascension. And what is that? In some work, it's called Satori, Nirvana, Jivan Mukti, Kingdom of Heaven. The idea being that while we are in the physical body, we can actually experience ourselves in ways that are independent of and free of the chaos of daily life. So that concept, you might say, is what's had in mind when you hear the term, or you hear the phrase, or even, I guess it is a phrase, which Jesus is said to have mentioned to his disciples, that is, to be in the world, but not of it. So the point is that the whole purpose of life, and I had an ex-wife who said, "That's the whole purpose of life?" I said, "Yeah, that's it. I can't believe it. It's got to be more to it than that." But she says, "The whole purpose of life is to learn how to be in the world, but not of it." So I don't know if I'm making sense at all to you, if this is something that resonates for you. I don't know. So what I would like to do is sort of flip the script a bit from what I have done before and read to you and talk about from some of the material that I have written, and it is now, I believe, available on the Light Giver Universal Healer website. But before I do that, I want to talk more about the second phase of sortionation. Now, you may recall the first phase is concerned with aura clearing, and I talk about the your asking that any contracts that have been made on your behalf to interfere in your spiritual development, you're asking Jesus, God, Allah, whomever you look to please cancel those contracts so that you can live, you might say, an even more spiritually balanced life. The second part of it is to ask that any inhibiting beliefs that you have that are interfering with your spiritual development, ask that they be eliminated. Any beliefs that create inhibiting beliefs. And then after that, you ask it to be disconnected from any person or, we'll say, even beings that are a source of negative or dark energy that's interfering with your spiritual growth. And all of this is so that you may be a greater servant of God, of your spiritual teacher, of Jesus, you know, whatever your faith, whatever your religion happens to be, whatever your spiritual path happens to be. And the last one then, again, is so you can be completely free to serve the Lord. The last one is to ask that any and all energies or negativities, which might even be even considered sin, that are still influencing your life, the way you're living your life, the way you're being, ask that those all be removed. Now, in some contexts, that's described as karma. So now that's the whole phase one, we'll say, of the sortionation process. The one that I've not spoken to very much, I want to spend a little time on that, is a second phase in the sortionation process, and that's the part that we've called soul healing. Now, the natural response would be, how can the soul be healed? Well, the fact of the matter is, the soul actually doesn't get healed. What gets healed and removed from you are those things, those attitudes, those experiences that are interfering with your being able to fully express God's love for all life. And you're being able to receive that same loving energy. Think of the people who you've known who just didn't know how to accept kindness, who did not know how to accept generosity. So in a sense, they were blocking the love of God that was coming to them from others. So that's what the second phase of the sortionation process is concerned with. And what that means then is, let me just walk you through it. And things don't happen necessarily in this order. I'm saying this because the way sortionation has been embedded by the archangels and ascended masters on the Light Givers with an S .com website, that this occurs instantly to the extent that it can, unless there are blockages there, unless there's something you're hanging on to. So the first thing on the list has to do with becoming fully integrated with your life contract. Fully integrated with your life contract. Now, what does that mean? Well, there are many people, matter of fact, most people accept the idea that we all come in the into these lifetimes with different purposes. We come into different families. We come into different towns. We come into different cities. We come down into different countries. So we all can't have the same purpose. It can't show up the same way. But nevertheless, there are some traditions that actually propose that before we enter the womb of our mother, that before that occurs, that we ascend, we have an audience with God, with Jesus, the archangels, higher beings, and there's an agreement that's reached about the particular obstacles that will be faced during this lifetime. Now, the issue is not whether or not we can resolve or overcome the obstacles. The issue is the extent to which we can gain spiritual understanding as a result of the dynamic of how we interact with those things. Now, let me say it again. The issue is gaining spiritual understanding. And why is spiritual understanding important? Because with spiritual understanding, it means that no matter what obstacle we face, we will always do it from our God center. We will always do it from our higher selves. We will always do it, say, in a Christian context, with the love of Christ flowing through us, if that's our particular tradition. So this life contract, then, lays out what essentially is our spiritual purpose. So as soon, then, as you log on to undertake the Source Nation process, whether it's on the website or you're sitting working with one of the Ascension Masters, as soon as that begins, then whammo. Now, I'm saying this to those of you who are on the call, and you may notice now. Right now, then, you're asking your higher self, please allow me to be fully integrated with my life contract. Now, when I'm actually doing the trainings, I will teach you how to determine. Matter of fact, we can do it right on the call if you're able to do this. Now, some of you can feel energy between your palms. Now, here's how the exercise goes. If you put your palms across from each other, say out in front of you, so your hands are facing each other, the palms are facing each other, then what you can do is simply ask your higher self, Jesus, God, Source, whomever you look to, say, please allow me to see. Let's just say, put your hands, say, about a foot and a half apart, and you say, this represents me being fully integrated. The energy between my palms now represents me being fully integrated with my life contract. And then you say, now show me how much, say, the gap, the size of the gap between where I am now and my life contract. Now what will happen is your palms will start moving toward each other, and then they'll just stop. For some of them, they'll stop. For others, they will go all the way together. Now, if your palm goes all the way together, it means that you're completely integrated with your life contract. And that means that you're exactly where you should be, and you're proceeding apace. You're proceeding at the rapid pace. And I want to say congratulations. Now, on the other hand, if your palms stop, say, some distance from each other, then what you'll want to do is simply ask, again, your higher self, Source, Jesus, Allah, whomever you look to, say, please remove any distance between where I am and where I should be with my life contract. Please fully align me with my life contract. Now, when you do that, then it means that you're now becoming completely aligned with your life purpose. So take a breath and notice that alignment. The next thing, and you'll really love this. You will really love this one. The next aspect to be mentioned has to do with your being completely integrated with divine will. So what does this mean? It means, or it acknowledges the fact that all that we see, all that we hear, all that we know is an expression of God's divine will. And the challenge that we have as spiritual beings is to be completely aligned with that. Not to the point that we're going around announcing to our children, to our friends, to our fellow church members, to our pastors, that my name is Gregory Scott and I'm completely aligned with the divine will. Oh, no. The feeling that is there is one of surrendering, one of saying, thy will be done. one of saying, I and God's will are one. And I will live my life fully and completely and know that I am completely surrounded by God's love for all life. And that is what flows through me. So at this point, again, as part of the Source Nation process, again, in this instant, you just simply ask to the higher self, Jesus, Source, God, you know, whomever you look to, you just simply ask. Say, please integrate me fully and completely into divine will. And you may say very softly in your mind, thy will be done. Now, once again, we can do the same exercise. Put your palms completely across from each other and say, this represents me being completely integrated in divine will. And then you merely say, next, please show me the extent to which I am not aligned with divine will. And once again, if your palms come together, congratulations, praise the Lord. You're completely integrated with divine will. And divine will, therefore, is available to continually express itself through your very being. Now, this doesn't mean that you always are going to operate. You wouldn't be a human being if you were able to consistently operate 100% of the time in that divine will flow. But it means that when you surrender, when you let go of the tiny little petty grievances, when you're able to ignore the barbs from others, what it means is that the divine will express itself, that you will be able to say that will be done and know that God's divine spirit is flowing with you. And that moment you are, as one of my dear friends says, you're experiencing the anointing when the divine will flows through you fully and completely. So if there's a gap there, you just simply ask, please allow me to be integrated fully and completely with divine will so that I may be of greater service to all life. Now, the next point I mentioned a little bit, I want to spend a little time with it, is there are many people who have with them, as a part of, you might say, their endowment, a powerful endowment of God's force that's like soul energy. But for reasons of insecurity, perhaps how they were raised, how they've been treated, they are blocked from allowing that God energy to flow through them. They're blocked from allowing soul to express itself fully and completely. So again, instantly, as a part of the Source Nation process, then what happens instantly is, you might say that light comes on and that soul force, such as it is, begins to shine through you fully and completely. Of course, now, once again, we can check this out energetically. You put your hands across from each other and you say, this represents me with 100%. Of God love or soul force shining through me out into the world. They say, show me the extent to which I am currently doing that. And once again, your palms may move in. If they touch, then that means that you're not being blocked. You're being asked to be shown the gap between where you are and the God force going through you. So if your palms do not touch, then that means there is some little blockage there. So you just make the next request. Please remove anything that's blocking me from wholly and completely allowing the God force to go through me, divine force, Holy Spirit, to go through me out into life. And then by the same token, what you want to do is recognize the fact that God is continuously expressing itself or himself to you. In a sense, your soul force is a reflection of that. So you put your palms across from each other and you simply say, this represents me accepting 100% of the God love, of God's love for me. And say, show me how much of a gap there is between what God is sending me and what I'm actually allowing myself to receive. Once again, if your palms come completely together, it means you're getting 100% of that God love energy. If there's a, if your palm, there's a space between your hands, it just simply means that there's something blocking. It could be your own timidity. It could be that you're not willing to accept it. So what you might simply say is, mentally, God, I open myself to you fully and completely, and I accept 100% of all the love that you have for me. Now allow that energy to come into you. Allow it to bathe you. Notice how it combines so well with that soul energy that you were able to express just a moment ago. You probably by now are starting to feel some vibration. Now, we've already addressed the question about karma from previous lifetimes. So what you can do is put your palms across from each other and simply say, this represents me being completely clear of all energies from previous lifetimes, or being completely free of sin, if that's your tradition. Put your palms across from each other, and now say, please show me any residual sin or karma that is still in my being. If your palms come together completely, it means you're completely free and clear in this moment. If they do not come together, it means that there still is a residual. Now, a lot of the residual karma is always related to either to feelings of guilt or feelings of unforgiveness. So I ask that you in this moment, if your palms are not coming together, remember that it is very important in the history of this country, the history of the world, that that's the time that we just celebrated, that Jesus came into this incarnation and essentially was able to, as a result, not only taking on sins, but to forgive all of the sins of the world. And that forgiveness is still there. It wasn't, He didn't say, I'm just going to forgive the people who are gathered here around the cross. I'm going to give the people this time. His ability to forgive transcended everything, past, present, and future. And that being the case, then, you can ask to experience that tremendous loving presence of forgiveness that the Christ consciousness has bestowed in this reality that we all can access. Now, you don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be a Muslim to partake of this. It's there for all. So you can just simply ask to be forgiven for any sins, real or imagined, for any unforgiveness, real or imagined, by you or by others, any unforgiveness of yourself. Notice this feeling of freedom that you have. Now you're prepared for the experience of ascension. Essentially what you've done at this point is you've dropped all the baggage that may have been holding you back, that's been holding you down. And what you want to do is resist any tendencies at this point to disbelieve your own experience. True understanding is from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. So notice how you're experiencing yourself. Right now, you're centered in your soul awareness. And so, therefore, I have been endowed, and you, by the way, now are endowed with the capacity to simply say to someone else, as I'm going to say to you now, do you accept yourself as a spiritual being? Do you accept the fact that the kingdom of heaven is within? If you accept that, then simply ask your higher self to allow you to experience this higher state of awareness, which we call ascension. But it's by freedom of choice. I mean, if I personally took steps to ascend you, then it means that you have not taken responsibility for your own state of consciousness. And after you have that experience, then it becomes incumbent upon you to continue your spiritual practices which will continue and allow you to maintain that high state of spiritual awareness. So there are a few people who are still on the call, and I want to thank Laurie for hanging in there with me. Because, Laurie, you didn't know I was so long-winded, huh? What I'd like to do is read a letter, which is a part of a series of letters which are actually on the Lightgiver website. I think they're on the shop page, so it's possible for you to own your own copies. And I think what this will do is give you a background into not only what the Lightgiver work is about, but also perhaps a little bit of what my responsibilities are. So this was 6 dictations that were taken down by me, or letters that I wrote. They were called Letters to a Lightgiver 3, and this actually will be used as a part of the training if I ever get anyone at this level. Dear friend, the thought of my accepting apprentice masters, who we now know are ascension masters, has triggered a reaction among the brotherhood and within me that opened a long-awaited gateway for a flood of information now to come your way on a variety of topics. This is the first of 6 letters written directly to you. That is the third in the Letters to the Lightgivers Advanced Ascension Master 3 series. Hopefully you will better understand what we are about in this work, that is, in the Lightgiver work. And in sharing these letters with you and with those who are accepted in the Ascension Master training, we expect that they will be able to move more fully and more comfortably into their responsibilities. I hope we will be able to discuss these as times go by, and in so doing, the dialogue will harmonize the God wisdom that abides within you in such a way that you and these spiritual truths embed themselves and express themselves authentically as part of your own wisdom field. Each of these letters is embedded with units of source energy to facilitate the transformation. Now, the point I want to make here, this is not in the letter, I'm kind of leaving the script right now, is that so many times those of us who have been blessed to move into the ascended state of consciousness will rhapsodize about them in such a way that instead of drawing you more tightly into the state of awareness, we tend to shove you away by elevating ourselves above you. So the dialectic here is very tenuous. On the one hand, we want to describe to you what are essentially your spiritual possibilities, but we don't want to describe them in such a way that we elevate ourselves away from you. So hopefully you'll appreciate and understand the sensitivity that we have. In this letter, I discuss to some extent the role of a teacher, spiritual master, with the expectations you will gain not only a sense of my perspective, but how you might consider the role into which you're being transformed. And the role is the ascension master. We in the ancient orders have over the century established individuals in the roles of teachers and spiritual masters. This is because there must be someone in the culture or group who is able to demonstrate to others gateways to higher states of being. Also, these individuals have often been the purveyors of more advanced technologies. So the teachers would be embedded with principles, practices, and knowledge designed and intended to open their students and followers to the larger possibilities of life and of themselves as well. And we generally install within the teacher endowments that would allow them to accelerate the spiritual development of some of the members of their flock. Now, this word endowment is key. This word is endowment is key. And what that means is that simply by going through this initiation process, you are open within you is the capacity to bring other people through the source initiation process and to support their ascension at their own higher state. Now, we're not a membership organization. We don't recruit people. That's not our intention. The intention of the Lightgiver program is to support you wherever you are, whatever your spiritual path or religion, to support your achieving your spiritual goals. And your spiritual goals no matter what your tradition, almost always motivate you toward having a closer relationship with God, becoming more the God self. So therefore, there have always been individuals who had that responsibility. Now let's talk about what some of those endowments are. They might be a string of words, such as Jesus' parables or stories. They might be healings, i.e. the simple removal of spiritual blockages that are replaced with healing energy. They might be upliftments, such as initiation, shakti pots, dikshas, and so on, that give the recipient the feeling of grace, gratitude, and exposure to one's own spiritual potential that awaits beyond the world of causation and effect. And when we say one's spiritual potential, we're talking about the ascended state of consciousness. We're talking about being in the kingdom of heaven, which is within. We're not talking about dying and going to heaven. We're talking about what's happening right now. So ascension experiences, nevertheless, were provided far less frequently. This was done on a very selective basis, most often limited to the teacher's spiritual successor, who had demonstrated in some way his spiritual sufficiency to take on the master's mantle and to carry the teachings on. Why? Because the spiritual freedom that accompanies the mantle can be fundamentally liberating and weaken, unfortunately, any sense of obligation. Without a commitment to carry on the work, the path might wither and disappear. Also, and unfortunately, many people are more interested in the form of the teaching than its reality or practice. Their own association with the master substituted for the God devotion that was required. Such endowments and the conscience of those that did not fully embrace the breadth of the teaching would be dangerous. Now, I want to understand this. I want to make sure this point gets understood. And that is that the purpose of the teaching is to achieve devotion to God, not just to the teacher. And so many times what happens with people is they get so hung up with the form of the religion, with the language of the religion, with the curriculum of the religion, that they forget that the purpose is to become more godly. The purpose is to become closer to God. So this could explain the reasons why many men of God sometimes abused or took advantage of their followers, and which resulted in spiritual lessons that took them through many lifetimes of redemption. It is truly a violation of spiritual law to use spiritual endowments to trap and confine individuals for personal aggrandizement or sexual abuse. Ironically, it is now we who punish the violators. In fact, I should say, ironically, it is not we who punish the violators. In fact, it is the soul conscious of the individual himself that metes out the punishment, as it were, in order to bring the individual into alignment with Source. How long does it take? As long as it takes. The egoism and callousness that allowed the misuse of the spiritual endowment must be neutralized and expunged from the energy fields of those who misuse their spiritual power. So the true teacher is a higher consciousness that recognizes and directs the spiritual evolution of the individual by moving him between and among their various spiritual paths or energies within their spiritual environment. Within modern society, however, individuals are inculcated to believe that true wisdom lies outside themselves and therefore often look to those with degrees, certifications, and other measures of class attendance as sources of spiritual wisdom. In most cases, the wisdom they profess is that which has been gleaned from others' work and not wisdom they have directly accessed from the spiritual beings or spirit themselves. So it is as if the students are in rehearsal for God whenever God chooses to show up. Quite frankly, this is good, because when God shows up as God energy or Holy Spirit, the individual is more likely to be able to sustain himself in it, only if any and all spiritual blockages have been removed. Why is the removal of spiritual blockages important? This is important because as long as the blockages are present between moments of exaltation and in contemplation, the individual will be drawn inexorably to the lower states of awareness. until karma and sin have been removed and a true state of spiritual freedom has been entered, God as such remains an aspiration, an intention, and largely a figment, unfortunately, of one's own imagination. We who serve as outer teachers are sometimes characterized as way-showers. As such, we can enlighten, which is to demonstrate ways to consider, think about, and reflect upon spiritual truth in ways that allow your inner light to see light in places you may not have noticed. But you and I are light givers. I am endowed with and have endowed you with the power to help unlock greater levels of light within others. Once they have accepted the removal of their spiritual blockages that occurs within the auric clearings and healings, the soul clearings and healings, these are activated by your very presence. If they do not fully occur, then the light giver's duty, if requested, is to lead the individual through the clearing and healing process with the 7 simple questions. No intention is required. In the orbit of a teacher, there's always the risk of overattachment to the teacher and the transference of your power to the teacher, and the illusion that the teacher is transferring his power to you. While a teacher can and often does activate a greater capacity for spiritual awareness, such does not require surrender or giving up to the master. The only giving up to be Source, Jesus, or God itself. When the master says, "I am always with you, talk to me on the inner," it creates what should only be a momentary experience, union, a momentary experience of union leading to spiritual freedom. It is the same as if you want to go over a wall and a close friend says, "Here, step into my hands, I will lift you up to the top." But you don't expect to spend the rest of your life with your friend attached to the bottom of your shoes. By the same token, you want to be wary of masters that wish to be in the same role for the rest of your incarnation. The lift should be into a better relationship with God, not further dependence on the master. Well, boy, I thought I was just going to do a show this evening for a half an hour. I was telling a friend of mine that I said, "Boy, I don't know if I can go longer than half an hour. There are only 7 minutes left. Let me reach out and talk to my good friend here, my loyal and faithful listener." Calling from 618. Hello, 618. You're on the line.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello. How are you doing, Susan? Boy, I really had a soapbox on tonight, huh?
Oh, boy, you really did a good job tonight.
Well, thank you. Tell your friends.
Hey, I have told some of my friends.
Well, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's really interesting because all the day I've kind of been just wandering around the house, not doing much, almost kind of dreading getting on because I said, "Well, I really don't have much to say." Boy,
you do have more than you think you're.
Oh, yeah. Well, what happened?
Spirit, of course. Spirit is helping you so much.
Oh, tell me about it. Well, what happened is I had a fellow call me from Nigeria, you know, by way of Skype, and he's been very interested in Light Giver program. And so I explained to him how, as I could, just by instant messaging, how the Light Giver program worked. And I just said to him on the instant message, I said, "You have the endowment." And he immediately came back and said, "Boy, I felt my body change." So I think what happened was I noticed that there's like a window in consciousness that you're given. It's like a wisdom pool. And what happens is, so I'm in the ascended, I'm always in the ascension state, but at the same time, my attention quite often won't always be on that level of consciousness. And so just chatting with him just that little bit, I felt the window open. And then I did that calibration I mentioned that I was telling you guys. I said, okay, this is me at 100% of, consciousness. Where am I now? And then I said, okay, let me just go ahead to 100%. And then it opened up quite a bit. And so nevertheless, before the call about an hour and a half ago, I was talking to a dear friend and I said, "Well, I'm not really sure, but I guess the light givers themselves had other plans. I think I could talk for another hour, but I don't have to think so for an hour."
That's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, spirit, spirit can really put you in situations that you'll be surprised that happen, but for the most part, I have found spirit knows what they're doing, and they're just kind of trying to lift you up even higher than you think you can go, you know?
Well, let me tell you, if I get any higher, I'm gonna get airsick. I'm telling you, I'm not bragging, but these folks, they definitely have me way out there. I guess you probably can tell that, huh?
Well, of course I can tell that.
Yeah, they have really, at one point, when I was a Universal Healer, the title they gave me was Grandmaster Universal Healer, and that was because when you're a Grandmaster of any type of tradition, it means that you're able to bring other people into the Master Circle.
Yes, I understand that.
Yeah, and so a number of people finally became Master Universal Healers. And then I was sitting in contemplation one time. I haven't told this story many times. I haven't told it in public. So I'm sitting there in contemplation, and then they gave me a title. I heard this voice say, "You're now the umpty-ump." And I said, "I can't get people to pay any attention to the Grandmaster Universal Healer. I don't need any more titles. Thank you very much." And then I began to experiment with it. And one of the things that happens, you know how sometimes you have possessions and you have entities and spirits that come.
Oh, I sure do know all about that.
Yeah, and so before, what I had to do, if I encountered one, I had to make them a better offer, you know, so that they would no longer feel they had the need to continue to harass, you know, the person they were working with. And the better offer would be giving them opportunity to move, you know, to a higher state of consciousness. And then if that didn't work, then I was so vested I could go to their superiors, you know, all the way up and say,
mm-hmm.
"Look, could you just move this dude along?" And then what I found is once they gave me that title, that they had either they left of their own free will, or they were dematerialized. That's the only way to describe it. So that extra title that came along apparently had some extra endowment energy with it. And so I said, okay, I won't use the title, but I will use the endowment. So now, you know, if I come across someone who feels like they're being attacked with black magic or their dark entities involved, then simply by declaring that that their thing is over, then it happens. They just—it's really interesting to see that go on. So yeah, there's been a lot sort of put with me and on me, and I'm delighted to be able to share it by way of being on this call. Let's see, I only have a minute and a half left. So it's certainly been extremely interesting, and I hope that that people have a chance. As a matter of fact, B was saying to me that it's very rare that a person with, you know, the kind of endowments that have been given me, that they are, you know, will get on the radio, that they will actually get on the call and make themselves available to share the wisdom and to give the inspiration to people who want to call in. So I'm really glad that you're taking the time to get on the call. So how have things been going for you so far? We have about a minute left.
Well, I have been talking to spirits. I have some new spirit guides due to what's been going on for the past year with me. And as a matter of fact, some of it went on while you were talking. They had been telling me about the crown of heaven. And what I see is, I see a lot of angels, and it's like an opening into the heaven. And I thought, I didn't know they were doing it for me. But tonight I realized, well, the angels are holding their hands together in circling, and then the heavens are opening up. And I find that very interesting.
That's wonderful. Well, you know, I'm looking forward. I only set the time for 60 minutes, so it looks like I'm reaching curfew. But I'm glad I had a chance at least to chat with you. as usual, and I'm going to go out with my theme song, which is called Grazing in the Grass. And I would like to change the title. Let's call it, instead of Grazing in the Grass, let's call it Cavorting in the God World. So anyway, here we
that
go.
That sounds good.
Okay, take care. Talk to you next week.
Take care. Bless you.
Thank you. You've been listening to The Light Giver. You've been listening to The Guide Giver, Universal Healer Hour. Thank you very much.